Welcome to Grow in Grace Podcast, where we want to encourage you to think deeply about God so that you can know Him and love Him better. Join us as we strive to grow in grace together. Welcome to the Grow in Grace Podcast. We are your hosts, Shanna and Kristen, and today we have a really great episode, I think, that I'm really excited to talk about. But first, hey, Kristen, how are you?
Hi, Shanna. I'm alive.
You are alive.
I am doing okay.
Where are you right now?
Yeah, I was going to say, I am currently in a hotel in Columbus, Ohio, because last minute, my job decided to send me up here for a product summit that I am so far out of my league here. All the people here are so much smarter than me, but it's I'm just kind of like a fly on the wall. And then I am a support team manager. So I kind of get to talk about like the support side and basically all the things that they don't think about. Like the product designers think of all the pie in the sky ideas. Mm-hmm. And then I say, okay, let me figure out how like our customer is going to break this or what their problem mm-hmm. is going to be in this journey. So,
and you're a very like realistic, practical person. So I think that's like perfect for you.
Yeah. It's a fun role to play, but I'll get to interact a little bit more with that tomorrow. But because of that, that means that we are recording at 11 o'clock at night and I'm in a hotel room. So it's definitely a first for us, not the late night.
That's every time.
Me being in a hotel room.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you?
You know, I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah. I know we both have had some trying, at least this last week. It's just been super busy for me. And I know for you.
Yeah, it's been really busy. My husband's been out of town on a work trip. He's in Las Vegas for a work trip. And so I've been kind of like, you know, just home with the kids and trying to keep up on everything. You know, working from home is one thing. Working from home while you're homeschooling your kids is a totally different beast. And then to have zero help around the house too, as you know.
But are we allowed to call it a work trip if he got a massage?
He had a massage. Also, can I just say something else? I'm bitter. I'm super bitter about this. And you know what? I feel like one of the things
I'm not helping
specifically that our listeners have said to me is that they appreciate how real we are. So I'm just gonna be real with you.
Oh boy. Here it is.
I'm a huge baseball fan, right? Specifically the Yankees. Mm-hmm. My family's been a Yankees fan since back in the 40s. And that turd head. So we're calm like it is.
Turnhead
is at this conference that he's at and gets to go and sit in on a session with the one and only Captain Derek Jeter. And at the moment that he is sending me this video of Derek Jeter speaking, I am literally unclogging a toilet that my son stopped up. And I am like, what is, it could be anybody, but it was Derek Jeter and I am literally getting poop out of a toilet. So my week is going great. He comes home tomorrow.
When you sent me that, I laughed really hard about it.
Yeah, it's fine. Everything's fine.
In solidarity of your pain and misery.
Sure. Sure.
Exactly.
Everything's fine though. He comes home tomorrow and then I fly out to be with you in a few more days. A week from today, actually. So yeah. So other than you're busy, like you have been really busy. It's been hard. I'm like, one time I messaged you, I'm like, are you alive?
I said yes.
Are you alive?
I got
are you mad at me?
No.
Why aren't you talking?
That's more what it is.
Are you mad at me?
No, it's more that I got a different position at my job. And so it requires a lot more out of me during the day, which is fine and great and wonderful. But I've also been super busy, like in the evenings and weekends. And a couple weeks ago, we went to Blink, which if you're in Cincinnati, you might know, but if you're not, it's like a, it's an art show basically that takes over downtown, and they do a lot of things with lights, and they had like a drone show over the river and different things like that.
A video. And I was super confused. So context helps.
Context helps. But it's like, and so they'll like, they spend, I feel like it's like every 2 or 3 years, and they will do murals downtown, and then they will project other like light things that will happen and interact with the murals. They'll project like different projections onto buildings and different things like that. So Matthew and I went down there on Friday night, 2 weeks ago. And then we had a, over this last weekend, we had a bonfire, small group activity. And then I had a baby shower that I went for my cousin. And so it's just been really busy.
I love bonfires. That was like growing up, you know, my parents like lived out in the country, and we would always have like the youth group over, and we would have bonfires when it was cool enough to do that. Mm-hmm. And it was like my favorite. I miss that so much. Like a hoodie and a bonfire.
I loved it. My hair smelled like bonfire for like a couple days, even after I washed it.
Oh, wow.
Which I didn't love. Like that night, sleeping, I kept getting, like, I was sleeping and I kept getting whiffs of a bonfire. And I'm like, well, I hope my house isn't burning down, because that's kind of what it smells like. But I think it's just my hair.
It's your hair.
So yeah. And then, well, of course, you know, the busyness just doesn't stop, because we're getting ready to go to Virginia next week. And
yes,
then
we
kind
are.
Of like hit basically the beginning of holidays, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we start having some Thanksgiving stuff that is happening, and so it's just getting ready to be a very busy season and a very busy holiday season.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I feel like it's always been busy, and I'm always like, I can't wait for the holidays for things to slow down. I'm like, who am I kidding? They don't slow down in the holidays. It's like full steam ahead. But hey,
two families to having to go and coordinate, and it's just a lot.
That's okay, because I'm flying into Virginia on the 2nd, November 2nd. 1 week from today, you are picking me up at the airport. The world
like
is not ready.
You sent me your itinerary. I'll be there.
Okay.
I promise.
Please be there. But I'm really looking forward to just like, I mean, obviously time with you and like, our cabin, hopefully not in the woods. And then I wish you guys could see her roll her eyes. But then also just time, man, with like other believers. And I'm so looking forward to like being able to pour into others and then having it like all poured back into me. Like, I'm so looking forward to it. So it's going to be 1 week.
It's going to be fun. I'm excited. Looking forward to it.
Yes. Okay. So today's episode, we are going to be talking about identity, and this could go a million different directions, obviously, when you mention the word identity in today's society. But this is something that's been on my heart, even for like, I remember when we were even talking about this, like last summer, before we even launched this podcast, we were like, what are some things we want to cover? And identity was one of them. And the Lord, through his kindness, I have been in a leadership program at our church, and we've been going through a couple of books, and the first book that we are in deals with like identity. And so I was like, this is perfect. And so I'm really excited. So I'm learning a lot of things through this. And I know that this will be very, hopefully very helpful to those listening, because one of the biggest questions that we ever ask is like, who am I? Who am I really?
Right.
You know, and so it's not like, will I focus on identity? Like, everyone will focus on identity. It's just, how do you focus on it? You know,
and everyone will get their identity wrong at some point in their life. Yeah. So this is something that if you haven't struggled with it, you probably will. Mm-hmm. I don't know of many people that have this rock solid down. Like, I know who I am, and I know who I am in Christ. And spoiler alert, we're going to have to talk
spoiler
about
alert,
who we are
going?
In Christ, but
where's that going? Yeah, I think, you know, if you think about it, we've all been shaped by something. I know as I've been doing this class, I was like, oh my goodness, I can see it back in my family of origin, right? Like, everything, like things are passed down. Our identity is often grounded in what has formed us, whether that be families, friendships, relationships, the way you were brought up, the church you were raised in. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we really find our identity like in the wrong places.
Right. Yeah. I mean, how often do you hear phrases like, I want to be true to myself, or I need to take time to find myself. Like I'm going to find myself and look for myself. So we hear those phrases all the time, and we may have even said those phrases, but the fact of the matter is that our identities, they inform everything that we do. Right. And it's so easy to get it wrong with all of the voices out there. Right. There's like so many voices that are shouting at us what our identity should be.
Yeah. It's not just like friends and family, but now we have like social media and, you know, there's all the, I mean, there is just voices everywhere. It's trying to get you to conform to one way or another. And really there are three enemies that the scripture tells us about, right? We have the world, our flesh, and we have, Satan. And all three of those things want us to misplace our identities. And so our hope in this episode is just to encourage one another to seek truth. We want to hold the word of God as our ultimate authority on truth. And when you do that, you live in the fullness of who we are in Christ. this is not a bingo card. It kind of is, because Jen Wilkin does say this, but really she got it from Calvin. She got it from Calvin. So really, let's put them all on the bingo card. But our identity is who we know. This is like our framework. Our identity is who we know or believe we are. So it's really our self-knowledge. And, you know, Calvin would say, without knowledge of self, there's no knowledge of God. Without no knowledge of God, there's no knowledge of self. And Plato even said, you cannot know yourself without knowing the one in whose image you were created. A fallen heart, man, that surpasses knowledge because it doesn't know God, right? Your fallen heart does not know God. God is the one who created us. And so he's the one that tells us who we are. And man, he gives us the spirit to help us more and more. And that is just, that's just pure grace right there.
Yeah.
So when we're looking at identities, go ahead. Do you want to say something?
No, I was just going to talk about like where we find our identities, like the wrong places that we find our identity. So we kind of talked a little bit about like kind of an introduction of why we're talking about identities, but there's so many places that we place our identities in incorrectly. So I know a big one, and it takes different iterations, right? Over the last few years, I think I've been around for most of all of these booms was like personality tests or personality types. So like the Enneagram, love languages, Myers-Briggs, anything else that's out there. Like a lot of people will find their identity in being this number on the Enneagram. So I'm an 8. And so therefore I have to do this, or I am like bound to do this. I can't help but do this. It's not necessarily, well, there's a few different camps. There's a lot of people that will say that the Enneagram is evil. But it's not that it, like the personality types in and of themselves are evil, but it's when we find our identity in them, they can help us to kind of know a little bit more about who we are. But who can tell us more in-depthly about who we are is scripture, right? Like scripture will always supersede that. But the problem comes when you start saying, like I had said before, this is my personality type, like, and we start making those excuses for sin.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting. I mean, I'll play the devil's advocate here, because there are a lot of people who hate the Enneagram, but it's really interesting to me. Because you are for sure an 8. My husband is for sure an 8. And so, and if you don't know what that is, it's fine. You don't have to waste your time. But if you want to, you can Google it. It's helped me kind of like relate to him a little better. And the other day I was talking in this leadership class that I'm in, and one lady was like, "You're a 1, aren't you?" And I'm like, is it really broadcast like that much on me that I'm an Enneagram 1? Yes, I am. the thing is like, I can say, hey, like I'm bent toward this. That's how I would frame that. Mm-hmm. I'm bent toward this, but I can't say, hey, like I'm a one and I'm a perfectionist and that's who I am.
Right.
That there's a difference there, you know? You know, God calls us to walk in holiness and to put all sin to death, and not just the sin that's easy for us to put to death, but even the hard stuff that's part of our personalities. And I think that's never fun. That's never fun.
Right. Like there's been times I have a friend that she says she's said it jokingly, but she'll say like, sometimes the things you say hurt me. Now I could just say it's because I'm an 8 and you're a 7 and you are just super carefree and like lovely and wanting to like just live in the moment. And I'm very direct.
Yeah.
So I could use that as an excuse, but also what she's telling me is that I'm unloving to her. Mm-hmm. Like I am not being kind to her. There's one thing about there's something about being direct and it's another thing to be unkind or harsh. Yeah. And that was eye-opening for me. I'm like, oh, I'm being really very harsh. And so I need to change that. Like I need to repent from that. Mm-hmm. And I need God to help me to change my harsh tongue.
Yeah. That's a really great example. I think that is one of the best, these are the perfect examples for one of the places that we kind of misplace our identity is we're mm-hmm. trying to find it within ourselves. Like, this is my personality. Mm-hmm. This is who I am. And we can look inside ourselves for inner strength. Right. Mm-hmm. And end up saying like, you hear this all the time. I'm enough. I am strong. I can do anything I put my mind to.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we do that because it makes us feel better. The issue is that we really are not enough, right? On our own, we're sinful and condemned. Like we're not enough.
Right. And that's the message that we get mm-hmm. from the world, right? Mm-hmm. Is that you are enough. You can do it. Like you don't need anyone else. It is you mm-hmm. and you alone. Like we hear that from the world a lot. And like you said, that can affect and change how, and shape is the word that you used, how we view ourselves and where we place our identity. You said before that we are not enough. Scripture makes that very clear, right? Mm-hmm. Romans 8:7 says, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. We are sinful and condemned. We can't submit to God. Or we can't submit to God's law on our own. And if we look to ourselves for our own identity, it's very discouraging mm-hmm. because we're always going to be falling short.
Mm-hmm. It's like a vicious cycle, right?
Yeah.
You're always just trying to look inside yourself and you're always just trying to get to the next thing and you can't. Like, we can't do that.
It's like that idea of like pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. Like, I can do this. I can, you know.
Yeah. So yeah, I think the first place is we can look inside ourselves. The second thing I would say is, I mean, this is obviously way more than 3 or 4 that we're going to say, mm-hmm. but these are really big ones. Look inside yourselves. We also look at what others say about who we are. A lot of people do not know their identity because they have allowed other people to define them. And much of society's message, I think, is you are what you possess and the status that you have or the job that you have, right? Mm-hmm. You and I were talking about this before we started recording and how easy that is for us to put on ourselves, like, I'm just a mom, you know, like, do you want
right,
to
find
that a little
right,
more?
To find our mm-hmm. identities and our roles, like the roles mm-hmm. that God has given you as wife and mother are good things. But if you mm-hmm. find your everything in them, if you find your identity in them, what happens mm-hmm. when your kids grow up and move out of the house? If you've found your identity in being a mother, when they leave, there goes your identity. There it goes.
And I've talked to a lot of people who that's been the thing. Their kids are gone and they're like, I don't know who I am now. Right. I don't know what to do. So absolutely.
But it's the same. It's not just wife and mother. That's an easy one to be able to point out in roles, mm-hmm. but it's, you know, whatever job you might have, mm-hmm. Whatever, you know, status, if you want to say within that, whatever station of life, like I'm the single one, like it would mm-hmm. be very easy. I have been the single one. It would be very easy to find identity in being that. Mm-hmm. And that's something that sometimes people place on me or something that I place on myself, but that is not what we're called to identify with. And it's, I think, not our role.
Yeah. I think it's important to even say, whether it's that job, whether it's a mom, whether, you know, you're saying singleness, it could be a pastor of a church or a pastor's mm-hmm. wife. Like if you're the pastor's wife and that is your identity. I think it's important to note out that these are all just callings that are for a season. Mm-hmm. Like they are temporary. And so our identity has to be fixed and defined by things that cannot change, not by things that change. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that right?
I think so.
I think so too. You know what I mean? Our identity should be fixed and not defined by mm-hmm. things that can change. And we also base our identity not just on things that we do, but on what's been done to us. And I think mm-hmm. we need to be very careful when we talk about this. I know in counseling, you have talked to a lot of people. I have talked to a lot of people who have had a lot of trauma mm-hmm. Happen to them, a lot of trauma in their life. And we want to be very sensitive and very cautious when we talk about that, to know that that still does not define who you are mm-hmm. and that there is good news, that there is hope in Christ, but to make us new, even in those painful and really hard situations. So your identity is not what's been done to you. That's not who you mm-hmm. are. And I'm very passionate about that. I've talked about that for a very long time, but, it is, you know, people will let us down because we are all fallen, sinful human beings. And it's really unfair to let someone have that power over us that they were never given in the first place.
Yeah, that's so true. Also, another place that we can find our identity or let maybe identity, but let define us is our own sins. So I'm a people pleaser. I'm an addict. I'm just a straight shooter. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I'm a blunt person.
I'm a gambler. Like,
yeah, I'm a gambler. I'm a, you know, I think you even said I'm a perfectionist, you know, all mm-hmm. of these things. We could very well, let them define us and find our identity, even though probably not an identity we want to find ourselves in. Like we don't, mm-hmm. I wouldn't think want to find our identity in that, but sometimes we allow that to define us. And then the other big one that I think us as women struggle with is we cannot let our physical appearance or our image give us identity, or even like the projected appearance on social media mm-hmm. can be a place that we, you know, let define us.
This makes me feel yucky talking about it. I don't like it.
Why?
Welcome to counseling session. I do think that that is something that a lot of women, and probably some men too, you know, but a lot of women really do my husband and I literally were having this conversation today through texting because he's again out of town. But, I was just saying, you know, I remember when I'm just being very vulnerable here, but when I lost like 80 pounds, like a ton of weight. Mm-hmm. Back before I had my kids, and this is super self-centered. At the heart of it is pride and selfishness. Mm-hmm. But it is like the attention. Oh my, you look so great, Shanna. Mm-hmm. Like you look so good. And you get all that. And then, you know, it's been, I don't even know how long it's been now, 10 years, I guess. And I'm not that I've had two kids and I'm not that same, you know, person. And sometimes that's like in your head. And I just, mm-hmm. I went through all my clothes this weekend, but I'm like, I will never be an extra small again. I am 36 years old or 37. How old am I? 37.
37.
Like, goodness, I'm a woman. Like, I do not.
Yes.
But it just did something crazy to my mind. And it's true. Like, if you put your identity on a certain appearance, or if you have a big presence in social media and you're like, hey, I want these people to think that I am this way. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a projected appearance. That is not who you are. You know, your image that you project to whoever is not identity.
Right.
Image is what we project to others, what we put on display. And it's an attempt to show how we would like to be seen, but that really has nothing to do with who we are. And the root cause of that is low self-confidence or insecurity, which is a result of misplaced identity. And I'm speaking to myself here.
And like you said, like it kind of seems backwards, but it's like all of that is self, mm-hmm. right? It's all focused on myself. Yeah. Like that, and that's where it comes from, is that I am more focused on myself, how I look, what size I am, what clothes I'm wearing, what identity I'm putting or image mm-hmm. I'm putting off. It's all very self-focused. It's a very selfish way of viewing things rather than others focused.
And I also think that it's important to say we are humans and mm-hmm. we do that. Like we those do. Are real, those are real feelings, you know?
Right.
And so that's kind of the importance of like taking it back to our very first episode, like preaching the gospel to ourselves daily. Mm-hmm. Cause I don't think we should feel shame for those things. I think that's natural, but I think it's just, we're having to remind ourselves of like, hey, my identity is not in this, my size pants.
Right.
Or skirts, if you will.
But it's so easy. It's so easy to fall into that and be
it
like,
it sure is. Cause it's everywhere.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's everywhere.
Yeah. I think also we just need to address, much like earlier with much sensitivity, mm-hmm. There are some very impossible, tough situations. There are people with disabilities and people with cancer. I have a sweet student of mine who, she's not my student now. She's my student a long time ago. She's now married, with a beautiful, beautiful husband. And, she is battling cancer and she's in her mid-20s. And, one of the hardest things for her out of everything was having to cut her beautiful hair. Like that was so hard for her. But she has said that she has found such a sweetness when she realized that that was gone and that like God was so close to her, you know, like that mm-hmm. wasn't who she was. And so I think what Kristen and I just want to say right now is no matter what is going on, you may have a disability, you may have cancer. We just want to say that you're not defined by that. Mm-hmm. And to be very honest, like it may not feel like that right now, but it is temporary. Like it is mm-hmm. temporary. And we can anchor our identity on things that are unchanging and fix our eyes on things that are unseen. And I think it's really easy to be like, okay, Shanna, but you don't have cancer. It's really easier right. for you to say that, Shanna, because you don't have cancer. And like, that's so true. But I think the truth is still, again, I want to be very loving. It is temporary, mm-hmm. right? And I think when we point back to our identity is in Christ and Christ alone, I think that really magnifies God. And that's really counterintuitive to everything that we feel, right? Mm-hmm. Is to know that God sees you and that he's with you and that, man, one day, like all this will be gone and you will be completely made new.
And it rightly places our focus where it should be, which is on God, right? When we are, when we have our identity found in him, it helps us to focus not on the temporary things of this world that are difficult and painful. Yeah. And all of those, I had shared it with you maybe, I don't even know how long ago, but I came across this Instagram account of this woman and I cannot for the life of me think of what she had. But when I came across her, she was basically bedridden, like mm-hmm. end of her life, but young. Like I want to say she was in her 20s or 30s. She was a believer. And to see her testimony through Instagram mm-hmm. of saying, I'm like, she was actively dying, like was posting mm-hmm. and said, we have stopped all nutrition, like mm-hmm. I am in so much pain, like all of this stuff. And so you look at her situation and you say, that is not fair. Like that is not, like that is a tough situation. And it was until the end of her life, right? Like it wasn't something that God chose to heal. Mm-hmm. It was till the end of her life, but her song the entire time that she was singing was, I'm ready to see Jesus. Like I am ready to be in the arms of him and to have a brand new body and, you know, just that true healing that she was going to get when she passed. And I just thought that that was a very excellent way to suffer.
I literally did not know her and I like shed a tear.
I cried. Yeah. I cried. I cried, guys.
That she passed.
I cried.
Kristen.
Kristen cried.
Kristen cried, which does not happen often. No. Kristen cried. Yeah, it was really beautiful. And you was like, you know, like I want whatever comes my way. I want to fight like that, you know, but she didn't know. She knew that her identity was not cancer.
Was not. Yeah. Was not in her situation, not in what she was dealing with, but was truly found in Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. So speaking of that, we've talked about misplaced identities, which can be in so many different places, and with the internet and TV, and like, it's just easy, right? To just misplace our identity and to focus on what we think we should be, or we project to other people. But, I mean, let's talk about what our true identity is. You know, our identity as believers is not based on who we are, what we do, but on who God is and what he has done. We're going to say that again, because that kind of frames everything we're talking about. Our identity is not based on who we are or what we do, like the world would tell us, but on who God is and what he has done.
It takes it out of our hands. Our true identity doesn't come from within ourselves, but from outside of ourselves, from God. Yeah. It's found in the eternal promises of God, not on these temporary things.
Yeah.
But it's so easy to measure ourselves against the world around us. Yeah. Like, that's the standard a lot of times we want to use, is that world around us. But God is perfectly holy, perfectly righteous, and he's the standard. That's the standard. Referring back to his attributes, which is why we started with his attributes.
there was a purpose there.
When we see who God is and when we see how much we need him, we can enter into our true identity.
Yeah. I think I love that example of like compare and contrasting, you know, when we're talking about like the attributes of God, and you're like, man, he's all these things. And I can only reflect some of these things. Like, I can't be that. There is a quote that I heard by Paul David Tripp, and it said, I found this very helpful. So hopefully it's helpful to somebody else. But it's like, when we look to the wrong things for our identity, it's like looking into a carnival, like one of those funhouse mirrors, you know, at the carnival. You see yourself, but it's distorted and twisted. When we look into the word, it is the perfect mirror that shows us who we truly are. And I think that for me, I was like, that's really encouraging, because that's so true. It's a great analogy. Because I'm like, I can look all around me, but it's all twisted and distorted. But the only perfect thing is the scriptures, right? That's the only perfect thing that's in front of me. And it's like a perfect mirror. And it shows me who I really am, shows me who God really is. I think that was really cool.
And who we really are. So we are going to transition into a topic that Shanna and I have both loved to discuss.
I'm doing a happy dance over here.
But we're also recognize we are also going to probably do an entire episode on this, because we recognize the significance that it is. And that's the idea of our union with Christ. This is this is central to our identity. Christ is a source. He's unchanging. We anchor our identity in him. But think of like the Bible passages. So in Christ occurs 25 times, like that actual phrase. But the idea of union with Christ is mentioned over 160 times by Paul. That's a lot of times. He was really drilling in like our union with Christ and what that means for our lives.
Yeah. This is one of my absolute favorite topics. So I am looking forward to doing an episode on this with you. This is a really brief overview. But it's crazy to me to think that we are presently in Christ, like presently, like Jesus is more real now. And we are presently in him than what we're presently doing because of time and space. right? Mm-hmm. Like if you think about time and space, like this is like a whole other conversation my husband would love to talk about. Yes. But like we are presently in him. Mm. And that is more real than me talking to you. Like that is crazy. David Pallison, he was a biblical counselor, right?
He was.
Yes. He said that your true identity inseparably connects you to God. Like we are connected to him because we are united with mm-hmm. him. Romans 6, 1 through 14 is a fantastic passage that talks all about it, like all about union with Christ. And mm-hmm. basically it says, you know, we're dead to sin and alive to Christ. I'm not going to read 14 verses here, but I would really encourage you guys to get out Romans 6 and read mm-hmm. 1 through 14. And it's this idea that our whole life is formed by the idea that we're slaves to righteousness. Sorry, I had a cough. But yeah, we're united with Christ in his life, death, and his resurrection. And because of that, we're no longer slaves to sin, but we're slaves to righteousness. And because of that, that compels us to pursue holiness because he's holy. And that includes our sin patterns, which are not fun.
Ooh. Ooh. But ultimately what we get to is our identity is really not about us. It's about Christ. The one with whom we are united to. This quite literally turns our identity upside down, because in Christ we have a new identity. Mm-hmm. That's always one of the coolest things to go through, is like that before Christ who you were mm-hmm. and then who you are after. So like before Christ we were sinners. We were recipients of the wrath of God. We were condemned. We were dead to sin. We were slaves to sin. We were enemies of God. We were haters of God. We were children of wrath. But our identity in Christ means that we are saints. We are recipients of God's grace. We are free from condemnation. We are dead to sin. We are dead to sin. We are new creations. We are redeemed, justified, sanctified, glorified sons of God, eternally alive, members of the body of Christ, and co-heirs with Christ.
Oh,
yes, I did just read that off because there's no way I could have come up with that off the top of my head.
Isn't it beautiful though? It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Like I mean, just going Christ, through, we are yeah, all the these
compare
things.
And contrast again.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I think one of the things that's interesting to me in context, because we're really big on that. Paul in Romans 1:7, he's writing to the church at Rome and he says to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Mm. So I think, you know, he's writing a letter to the church of Rome addressing believers and he's telling them who they are and what he says to them is not only true to them, but true to us. Mm-hmm. To all those in Rome, man, who are loved by God and called to be saints, man, like if you are listening, that is, and you like love and trust Jesus, that is the same for you. Like you are loved by God and you are called to be saints. I think sometimes we have flawed thinking to base our identity on our love for Jesus. So hear me out in this, Kristen. I was talking to someone the other day and they kind of wrote like, they were like, I'm going to need you to talk that through. let's see. You look at someone's Instagram profile or Facebook profile and they're like, I love, you know, I'm a wife, a mom, and I love Jesus, you know, like that's mm-hmm. like who you identify as. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know what's on mine. It's probably the same thing. I should probably look at mine. But it's a flawed thinking to base our identity on our love for Jesus, because the reason is our identity is not found on our love for Jesus, but on his love for us. Man, 1 John 4:10 says, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And then Romans again says, but God showed his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Like he loved us first. And I think that's really important.
That's later on in 1 John 4, right? That like, hold on, I'm pulling up my Bible.
Okay, you can. I just read it.
Yes, but it literally
1 John 4:10. Yeah, that's what I said.
But later on it says, yeah, in 19, it says we love because he first loved us.
Oh yeah.
Like good there job. Is not, I knew I was like, I'm pretty sure that's still in First John. Like keep going a little bit farther. Yes. And it explicitly says,
yeah,
we love because he first mm-hmm. loved us. We would not be mm-hmm. able to love had he not loved us first.
Yeah. Man, that's so good. It's just, it's one of those things in such a disorienting world. Like where everything is just, you're like, I'm not even going to get into like politics or like people identifying certain ways. Like we're not touching that. I'm saying in a world where everyone is saying like, you can be what you want to be, you can do what you want to do, you define who you are. Mm-hmm. Like, man, as believers, like we can trust and rest that God is unchanging. And we have to, like I said earlier, we have to constantly preach the gospel to ourselves and remind ourselves that the answer that we're looking for is in Jesus every time. Mm-hmm. This book that I'm reading for my leadership class, it's called, we're going to link it in our show notes because it's so good. It's called Who God Says You Are, A Christian Understanding of Identity. And you ready for this guy's name? It's amazing. Klein Snodgrass.
That's why I'm making you read this next quote. Isn't because that I didn't know how to say his name.
Klein Snodgrass. Isn't that amazing?
That is.
It's amazing. The book's phenomenal. I highly recommend it. But in this book, he says, the Christian faith says not only that you can know yourself, at least at some level, but that you must know yourself, sin and all. That grace makes it possible to look honestly at yourself, and that you will know yourself and find your true self only by knowing the God revealed in Christ Jesus. So it's possible to know who you truly are, sin and all. And it's because of grace that you can do that. Mm-hmm. Because of God revealed in Christ Jesus.
I think it's really important to remember that Christ isn't an add-on to an existing identity. It's not something that we sprinkle on or add to. He completely remakes your identity.
Yeah.
He is not an accessory that you put on, like mm-hmm. you're adding an option to a car or you're accessorizing.
I like that
your
sunroof,
outfit.
Please.
Right. Exactly. he takes over our identity mm-hmm. and everything else becomes an accessory.
That's good. He's the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else is secondary. Yeah. What counts in life is life with God and identity shaped by Christ. That's the main thing. Life with God and identity shaped by Christ. And it's regardless of what you feel, because I think we all have, like I've been struggling this week, to be very honest. We all have weeks where we feel less than mm-hmm. or just not like, why am I even here? I'm not saying that's how I feel right now, but just like, you know, just kind of down on ourselves. Mm-hmm. Whether it's depression, anxiety, or just having a bad day, you know?
Right.
It's important to remember that we were created in God's image. And even though we are finite and vulnerable, that we have dignity and value for no other reason than because God says that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is really one of the mantras that my kids, that Emma specifically, Oliver will do it a little older. But that Emma says is, I am worthy of dignity, kindness, and respect, and I will give others dignity, kindness, and respect. And that's what I want. I want that ingrained in her. Sometimes the word worthy makes me cringe a little bit. but I want her to know that she deserves dignity, kindness, and respect because she's made in God's image and God says that she does. And at the same mm-hmm. time, she has to give that to others. You have to give dignity, kindness, and respect to others for no other reason than they're made in God's image. And God says that they have that. And so if that's true for them, it's true for us. And we have to remember that, you know?
Yeah. I think we could sum up all of this by just the statement that we know ourselves only by knowing God.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like that is how we will know our true selves. Like you said, sin and all, Mm-hmm. We will, you know, look in that mirror and it will show us who we truly are. But that's not a reason to despair. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you can look at that and be like, oh, the Bible tells me that, you know, I can't attain, that I cannot do this without Christ. But for those of us that are in Christ, that completely changes our story. Mm-hmm. That completely changes it. Mm-hmm. And we have that union with Christ, and it's a beautiful and wonderful thing.
It's one of my most favorite theological topics. I really can't wait to do an episode on it because it's so vital to mm-hmm. who we are. Just, I mean, as people, you know, as believers, you don't get to separate that.
Right.
And if we got a grasp around that, we are united with Christ, we are co-heirs with Christ, that really changes the way that we would live and the way that we would view things.
We then walk in that, right?
Yeah.
Or we should walk in that.
Yeah. Yeah. So all the questions, who am I? What am I here for? You know, all the existential questions. Hopefully this was a little helpful to help you kind of stop looking inward and stop looking outward and start looking upward. And I just came up with that. How great was that? Stop looking inward, stop looking outward, and start looking upward.
Yes. If anything,
it's late.
If anything, this was a good reminder for myself. So mm-hmm. I really appreciated this conversation with you, Shanna.
I think we always say that. If no one else gets anything from it, you and I do. So
we do. So it's all right. Worth it for us.
Yeah. Well, hey, I'll see you in a week. And then after this amazing conference, we will be back.
Yes, we will. I did want to give a plug because it's been a hot second since we have. You can find our website, if you haven't looked at it, at growinggracepodcast.com. Also, like and subscribe and rate and all the different things on wherever you listen to podcasts. On our website, you can click the contact us tab and you will be able to send us an email. If you have questions, if you have complaints, if you have anything you want to debate,
would love to answer those.
Whatever. We just enjoy hearing from you all that are listening. It's so fun. There's, someone on Facebook, one of our friends, has been going back and listening to all of our episodes. Mm. And I just love when, like, she pops up a quote that just resonated with her. And it's just really cool to be able to see how God is using this in other people's lives. And it's just a little reminder for myself of when I hear that or I read that quote, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that episode. And, like, it just reminds me again of how blessed we are to be able to have these conversations with each other, and then that it's resonating with other people and other women. So we love to hear from you all. And I think that is all for our plugs, right?
Yeah.
We're good. All right. Well, until next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Grow in Grace podcast. You can find us at growingracepodcast.com for links to all of our social medias, resources we suggest, and to listen to previous episodes. We hope you can join us next time as we strive together to grow in grace.